Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome in. Oh, boy. It's a day. It's been a week. An end of the weekend and into some Sunday night football. Jacob Albrecht here. Jackson Schneider in for TJ this morning as we have a lot to talk about. The Chiefs losing last night, perhaps losing the season, likely losing the season. All the things happening at K-State and Manhattan. And then the latest drama with bowl games and college football and a full weekend of college basketball to get to, including an interview next segment with Wichita State head coach Paul Mills. We'll also have Josh Briscoe in the second hour to help us with the Chiefs. It's a lot. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager. Bock, yeah. A cold beer that'll give you a warm-feeling Bock Lager, available at all three WBC brew pubs here, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano and Handley, Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Jackson, good morning. How are you? It's as busy and, you know, news-filled Monday as I can remember.
But everything around me seems to be collapsing, whether that's the Chiefs or college football's bowl structure as we know it, or the streaming software that we use to do this show. It's given me a hard time on this Monday. So if you're tuning in to in any of the live streams and you're looking at my ugly face, I am not Paul Savage, but it says I am, and it won't let me change it right now. So I guess I just have to make Paul look ugly.
I think I can fix that. I think I have some authority there. We'll get that done. But, you know, we're glad to have you anyway, Jackson. And look, I think there are a lot of frustrated Chief fans. I can't even begin to go through some of the text messages from Chiefs fans. Like, Chiefs fans are having a hard time right now with this one. I think, you know, a lot of us are like, hey guys, this is kind of what it's like for most of us in the NFL. Like, all those bounces go the other way sometimes. What an unbelievable game. And I'll start, and we have so much to cram in today. We'll get to all of it eventually. But because we have Paul Mills in the next segment, we got to start here with the Chiefs, Jackson, for just a few minutes. That the decision to go for it on fourth, to me, is as bad as I've ever seen. I mean that. And I know people are throwing the computer models and, the analytics say this, that. The analytics are not watching the game and understanding that Houston cannot move the ball on offense and that the Chiefs' offense does not look good at all. It's not considering any of that. You punt that damn ball and let your defense get to work. Plenty of time. The risk versus reward is so outrageous in that scenario. What is the best case scenario? That you have it first and 10 on your own 31-yard line? You're going to risk putting them in field goal range and losing the game to get a first down on your own 31-yard line? There was nothing to gain there. Stupid, stupid call from one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen that I rarely will question because I don't know as much as his pinky nail about football, but it was a terrible decision that cost them the game last night.
So I'm with you in that it was a bad decision, but I'm not going to harp too much on it because of the analytical side of it. And for the vast majority of the last year or two, there have been a lot of fans unhappy with Andy Reid because of his lack of, I guess, fortitude of whether that be mental or intestinal to go for it on certain fourth downs in tough situations. But he's been listening more and more to the analytical side. And he does again. This time it doesn't work out. That is what it is. But I look at it like blackjack, right? Like, if you take that little card into the blackjack table and it tells you whether to hit or to stay on certain situations against whatever the dealer is showing you, it may not always work. But the thought behind it is that it'll put you in position to be successful more often than not over a long period of time. The problem is, the situation here, you're absolutely right. The risk reward was way too bad. And it literally, I don't think it cost them the game, but it certainly flipped the game on its head. They had opportunities later on to go and try to win the game still. So that's why I won't say it cost them the game. But it cost them having all of the momentum. It cost them having the Texans offense rather completely flustered. Like, I think they had like two first downs,
17 yards. It's 17 yards.
It was terrible what the Texans offense had done to that point. And then you're right. You give them the ball in fantastic field position. And what happens, Jacob? What happens as a result?
All of a sudden, their offense wakes up a little. All of a sudden, your defense, who's been, you know, has to be sitting there thinking, what was that? Like, why? The analytic, it'd be like your blackjack analogy if you're a card counter and you knew there was only 110 left in the deck and you still did it. Like, there is more to look in a vacuum, right? Maybe there's a good decision to go for it in a vacuum, but we're not in a vacuum. We can see what's happening on the field. A computer can't see that. A computer can't see and isn't factoring in that Houston is not moving the ball at all. And in fact, like, their likelihood for a turnover seems high. Like, they're so disoriented on offense, and you just like, and it's not considering that your offense looks terrible. Also, the computer's probably baking in that you're going to run the ball when you have the guy that's been more successful than the tush push at picking up 1 yard or less? Like, that's the other part of it. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. You're going to go for it. It's a stupid decision. I'll stand by that. But at least, like, you literally have the most successful 1 yard play in football this year with Kareem Hunt sitting there. And you decide to do what you did? Like, just like bad, bad, bad. And then, yes, they had other opportunities late, but my goodness, they came out the way they played in that second half to just blow it all up like that. I cannot get over how bad I think that call was.
I think, one, you're absolutely right that it doesn't make sense in the grand scheme of way, like how they went for it. But the play call, I would say, is worse than the decision to go for it, because I would also argue that the decision to go for it also bakes into it the defense, because of how the defense had held.
But even
Houston,
if that's the case, you're giving up a field goal.
You may be, and that's fine.
But I think that's a 47-yard chip shot field goal in today's NFL.
I don't know that anything's always a chip shot. I mean, we saw
Butker.
Yeah, I mean, Harrison Butker missed a field goal. Who was the kicker the other night for the Giants that stuck his kicking shoe a foot behind the ball?
Yeah, that was.
You look like me using my pitching wedge.
You make that call, you miss it. You're conceding 3 points in a tied game in the fourth quarter.
I agree, but I at a certain point too, like, you have Pat, and I know that the offense was dismal yesterday by and large for the Chiefs, but you do have Patrick Mahomes, and you have to be confident in him and his ability to go get you another field goal if you need it. So I can see why Andy Reid went for it. I just still don't agree. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that are like I'm okay with the call, but listen, I'm aggressive. Like, at the fourth down, they went for it down near the goal line. I said, go for it then. I just think this was one of the worst calls he's made. But we'll see what Joshua Briscoe thinks. We'll have more on this. We'll give you the audio of it. Get Andy Reid's reaction to it after the game. That's all coming. When we come back, though, we should have Paul Mills. We are jam-packed today. We'll get the college football craziness talk in. We'll try to get some other college basketball talk in. Of course, Darren Peterson returned yesterday. We're jammed today on Sports Daily. We're coming right back with more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, waiting on Paul Mills. So we'll continue along here for a minute. We can continue what we were chatting there about the Chiefs. So outside of that call, which we will play for you later in the show. Jackson, it was a very strange game. Wanye Morris goes out on the first play of the game. They were already down 60% of the offensive line. Thank you to Pray for Our Coffee for the coffee this morning, as it was a late night for a lot of us, by the way. But they lose Wanye Morris. I actually thought Issa Pole, and I don't remember him from training camp. I don't apologize to not know the, you know, the fourth string Chiefs tackle. Sorry.
He had actually been released at one point, and they got him back. So that should tell you exactly what the Chiefs thought of him, too, beforehand.
Yeah. But he looked good. I thought he looked good. I thought the offensive line, all things considered, honestly, did a pretty good job. Yeah. I mean, that could have been worse. It was a microcosm almost of the whole Chiefs season. And Travis Kelce with the drops at the end of the year, at the end of the game. Like, it was so odd to see the legends of the Chiefs have such big impacts, positively and negative. Like, Chris Jones, one of the best games, if not the best game, at least most impactful I've ever seen him play. He was unbelievable. Patrick Mahomes, in a lot of spots, was unbelievable in that game. He did miss some throws, but then you have Kelce with huge mistakes, Andy Reid, in my opinion, with huge mistakes. It was just like this very strange sequence of events from all the key Chiefs players. Throw Kareem Hunt in there when he picks up the touchdown on the, you know, on the late, you know, push. Like, it was wild. It was just, it was so representative of this season.
And it was so crazy to me, because you're absolutely right. It was just like this just illustration of how basically everything has happened this year, because it's been some plays that used to, like, the ball used to bounce in the Chiefs' favor, not get deflected up in the air and intercepted by the defense and hurt you like it was last night. Then you toss in, you know, your key players being the ones that bite you in the backside and cost you a loss, like Travis Kelce with that last drop. And I don't know if you caught this in the moment, but I did the first time. Then I saw it even worse on the replay, but he drops the ball, like, or he's juggling it, Travis Kelce does, and as soon as it leaves his grasp, his hands, instead of trying to fight for the ball, go to his head, like, surrender, Cobra, oh my God, I can't believe I dropped this, which led to it being intercepted. And maybe they dropped, I can't quite remember, it was all fuzzy, but I just remember
the first one they didn't pick off, the second one they
but
did.
But Travis Kelce's hands just go right on his head, like, I can't believe this just happened, which was basically my reaction. My qualm is, try to fight for the ball a little bit more, you never know what could happen. But it was just like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for the Chiefs this season in clutch moments. It's been the Murphy's Law kind of year. And they don't anymore have just far and away better players to make up for some mistakes that they've had in the past. Like, in the past, they've just been a better team that still made mistakes, but they've been able to overcome those. They no longer have the ability to overcome their mistakes like they have in the past, and you can see it. Because, like I said, this team doesn't make those plays. Those plays happen against them. And I've been a firm believer that, you know, talent and preparation puts you in the position to create turnovers and make big plays. And the Chiefs just haven't had that this season. And it's pretty evident, especially now when we are sitting here at 7:20 a.m. on December 8th, and the season is effectively over.
Yeah, it's on the second interception, it wasn't a great throw, but it's a ball a younger Kelce, I think, makes a play on most of the time. It's really interesting on him. Everyone's like, oh, he's done, he needs to retire, and I get his contract's up, and I do think he will retire. But you look around the league, he's the second leading receiver among tight ends this year. He's still very effective. I think they put too much on him for where he is in his career. Like, young Travis Kelce catches both of those balls, and he has had some key moments and key drops, but who else are they going to turn to? Right. It's almost like you've got to, and they tried to go to Rice in some big spots that didn't work out either. Like, it's just at some point throw your hands up. I with Kelce though, I am curious. Like, if Kelce said, hey, I'll come back on a team friendly deal next year. I mean, you want him back, don't you? Like, I know he's had some drops, but wildly productive still.
That's the thing, is last year looked a lot more like the last dance for him than this year has, at least in terms of, like, productivity. He's been a lot better statistically this year than last, and I think last year motivated him to kind of come back and elevate it. The problem is that even him elevating his play has not been enough to overcome some of the shortcomings
the total sum of parts. Look, they've had a lot to deal with this year too. Like, that's what Paul Mills may be behind, or he may be missing this week. So we'll deal with that. But while Max has it, it takes us back to that, you know, some of the, you know, the decisions, because all the things they dealt with to have an opportunity is still pretty wild. I mean, Trent McDuffie goes down in that game. Like, what in the world? But we're going to give you the call on the fourth down play. Max has this for us, and we're going to give you Andy Reid's reaction to it afterwards. So we've got that queued up. Now is as good a time as any, Max. Let's hit it.
Texans tripping their way onto the field as they make the late subs. Fourth and one, and they're going to go to 10-10 game. Anderson almost got there. Pass is incomplete.
So there's the call. Now here's Andy Reid talking about the decision after the game.
It just didn't work out that way. We got stalled a few times from our offense, and we got to make sure we take care of that. And we had, obviously the missed field goal, so that was also part of it. But when you're playing against a good team, you got to take advantage of points and field position. All those things become very important. And again, I've got to make sure I put the guys in the right position to do it with calls and or decisions. So we had three of those fourth down plays that weren't successful, and that's my responsibility there.
Yeah, so you have all these crazy events, and then you have that moment of the game. They don't convert. Like it did feel like the season. Like I don't know. I think that they had an opportunity last night. Again, the opportunity is that you win that one, and then you win three more. Even though going into the game, look, Daniel Jones gets hurt. The Colts are probably going to have a bunch of losses. The Chargers are playing and their schedule is brutal, and Justin Herbert has a broken hand. Like, it was right there for the Chiefs. It was right there for them to sneak their way into the postseason, and they fumbled it away.
They honestly, if you win last night, I don't even think you have to sneak in. I think you can comfortably get in. And I say that to say this, that they could still find a way to sneak in because of what you just said. But here, the problem being with that is that you have to win games to be able to sneak into the playoffs. And we've said that for multiple weeks now, where if they can just win this game, that would lead to winning the next game, which leads to the next, because that's how it's been for the Chiefs the past, 6 years? Maybe longer? Like, that they just go and take care of business like this and leave no doubt and there's no problem? That is clearly not this team right now or anymore. I don't, like, it's a weird watch, but what you said earlier of, like, how other NFL fans kind of deal with this. Like, this is just how it goes. Like, you don't just win all the time. And it's kind of a tough adjustment to have to see that for the Chiefs. Or at least it's tough for me as a Chiefs fan. I don't think it's probably as tough for Max. I think he's probably enjoyed it a little bit more than most.
Yeah, it's
weird to watch. Is it not? Like, to have all these guys that have done so much for so long and won three Super Bowls and been to five of them and dominated the AFC West and all that, to just all of a sudden the guys that led you to that in the past no longer seem to have that ability. It's crazy to me. But like at this, the flip side of that, all these teams that have sat behind you in the past, their sole mission has been to usurp you over the last few years. And it finally looks like at least Denver, if not a couple of other teams, have caught and surpassed you in talent and youth and hunger. Because that's another thing, is I have felt this season, and maybe a little bit last year, even though the Chiefs went 15-2, which sounds funny to say, but it just felt like they didn't want it as badly as they have in the past. And that hunger has carried them further than maybe their ability even has carried them in the past few years, but it's just not this year. For whatever reason, they don't seem to have the same fire under their butts as they have the last several years. And that's been really frustrating for me to watch as well, because you know what it looks like when they do have that fire under them and they're just hitting another level that other teams don't seem to have. It's been really frustrating to see
me. I don't think it's an effort. I don't think it's an effort thing. I think their stars are getting a little older.
Without question, that's true for sure.
I think their good fortune has run a little bit out. It's just like you can't take for granted. And I think there's and I understand why. Like, I think large and a lot part of this season, Chiefs fans are starting to take things for granted on just how wild this run has been. Like, this, outside of the Patriots, this doesn't happen. It was strange that it happened like right after the Patriots with Mahomes, but this doesn't happen in the NFL. And there is a lot of like people acting like the last 2 years have been a disaster. They went to the damn Super Bowl last year, right? Like, that's pretty wild. This year has been as frustrating a year because there's been so much meat left on the bone. But they were missing probably their second best player on offense for the first six games. They've had offensive line injuries. they've had a lot to deal with still, even this year. Some commentary here from Zach on YouTube says the problem is on the fourth down call. Everyone knew they were going to pass the ball. Somehow that used to work for them, but they need to figure out someone who can go under center and tush push, preferably someone big. Here's the thing, Zach. They don't need to do that because Kareem Hunt has been better than the tush push this year. That, I mean, it's not like they have the best 1 yard to go in their backfield in the NFL. You just give the ball to Kareem Hunt and you got to be able to live with that. If you're going to make that play call, which is the wrong play call to make, I'll stand by that until I die. You got to at least make the right play call. And on one to go, they've got the guy that's been the best at it. Like, that's why Kareem Hunt is so valuable to this team. It's not because he's breaking off long plays and doing all this other stuff. It's because that dude's picking up the yard. Like, you're not keeping him from picking up the yard. I tell people, it reminds me of Zeke Elliott late in his career is what it reminds me of. That dude always got the yard. Like, he didn't have all the things that he had when he was younger, but he always picked up the yard. And Kareem Hunt has been wildly good at that this year. Much better than if they had a tush push. And it's sitting there and they don't utilize it. And they go to something that hadn't even been that good in that game. It'd be different if the passing game was the passing game of 2019 or 2020, but it's not. It hasn't been as efficient. It hasn't been, you know, any of it. You don't have Travis Kelce in his prime anymore. You don't have any of these things. And you know Houston's not letting Mahomes pick that up with his legs. Like, they're too good defensively to see that obvious out. Because, you know, that's the other option is you let Mahomes, but Houston's not going to let that happen. At that point, if you're going to make that call, you have to go with the thing that's been the most successful this year, which is 1 yard to go for the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs, crazy enough, you know, if you look at their rushing stats this season, they've run the ball more efficiently and for more yards, I think. I haven't checked since last night, obviously, but as recently as I've looked, they've run the ball better in a variety of ways than they ever have since having Patrick Mahomes. They've been so pass-heavy because, obviously, he's so talented as a passer. They haven't had to worry so much about the run game. And there have been decent running backs, you know, Damian Williams, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a cup of coffee that was actually pretty darn good in his rookie season. Like, Isaiah Pacheco's been good in the past. Kareem Hunt's been really good, though, this year. And that, I think, is adding to my frustration because you're 100% right, Jacob. Like, if you need 1 yard and you've got a guy that's statistically getting that yard at a better clip than the play that the Philadelphia Eagles run that is breaking the game of football right now, like, they want to get it banned, why aren't you running that play? If you run the ball with Kareem Hunt and they stop you, you just tip your cap and say, hey, we ran, you know, our secret weapon and you stopped it. It is what it is. You move on from there. But to not even look in his direction in that moment, I it's incredibly frustrating.
And the counter to it is we're down four offensive linemen. We're that deep into our bag on the line. Right, we can't put the game in the hands of that banged up offensive line going against what's largely been one of the top three defensive lines in football this year. Right, like I get that part of it, and thinking about that part of it is why you don't go for a fourth down at your own 30 with the game on the line. Like, you don't have your offensive line if you're not willing to call the obvious play there. Like, if you're not willing to go strength on strength and put it all in the hands of Hunt at that point, then don't go for it on fourth and one when you don't have to. Punt the ball. You can see how many times in the second half did we see flipping the field work for the Chiefs?
A lot. Several times.
It was at least worth 10 points. It kept working. Like, it was the thing. Like, Houston could not do anything, and you took all of that, all of it, and put it on the line with a bad play call at your own 30-yard line to give up the lead. I mean, you have to. If you have to when you make that call, know they're kicking a field goal if we don't get this. We're going to be down 3 points, which, again, is nonsensical to do it for that reason alone, let alone them go get a touchdown. But it was – I mean, you had Harrison Butker missing another field goal. Man, I'm telling you, like, he's been bad. Like, all the legends – just had their moments this year of like, yeah, we're not gonna, we're just, it's it, the luck runs out, man.
Is it more frustrating? Like, I know you're kind of a neutral observer here, because so that's why I want to ask you this. Is it more frustrating for you to watch and have to discuss the Chiefs being this close all the time now? Like, their worst season in recent memory is right now. It's like the latest they've been under 500 in at least the last 4 years. But even then, at 6-7, like, this was the most lopsided loss of all of those. And we're sitting here talking about a razor-thin margin that changes all of this in a 10-point loss. Like, is it more frustrating for you to sit here and have to, like, you're being forced to watch this, right? Like, it's like...
No, as a neutral observer, the frustrating thing is to try to look at it without the emotion of it. We have something here. Coach Mill, are you there?
I'm here. You got to forgive me.
Look at that.
Me.
We got you in the waiting room there. We saw you. So we're not seeing you, but we're hearing you, Coach.
I'm at a doctor's appointment, so I'm trying to save my breath.
That's okay. Hopefully all is well. If you need
all
to,
good, all
hopefully,
good.
Hopefully the blood pressure's checking out. Hey, you guys got a quick one win on the road. You take those anyway you can get them, I assume.
Yeah, winning isn't natural. It's just not something you wake up and do every morning, so you have to work for that. Was really impressed just some play down stretch, specifically some offensive rebounds. Will Bird, big offensive rebound to put us up, and then we were able to make free throws. And, you know, we had some guys really step up, specifically a freshman and TJ Williams, and I thought Michael Gray did a phenomenal job as well. So you need a lot of people in order to get quality victories, and we had some quality guys step up the other night.
Coach, with the way things went down in the Bahamas, you know, being in such tight games 3 straight days and, you know, fighting as hard as this group did, were you worried a little bit about how they might respond after a tough week like that? Because from my eyes, it looks like they've given you everything you could possibly want in terms of response after a frustrating week.
Yeah, I would be lying if I said you aren't always worried about the response. You know, sometimes it could be after a hard practice. It could be after hard games. And, you know, that was a case, obviously, when we were in the Bahamas. But, you know, I mentioned this to our players, and specifically Michael Gray just did not shoot it well on the offensive side. But I thought he provided quality minutes defensively, and just constantly trying to remind players that, listen, if we're doing the right things and we're not necessarily getting the desired result, it doesn't mean that we should all of a sudden change things. We need to continue to do the right things. He obviously shot it really well, made big free throws in order to put us into overtime the other day. And so what we need to define us is how we respond. And so it is something that you constantly preach. It is something that you're worried about, but was very pleased with the response.
We've got Shocker head coach Paul Mills here with us on Sports Daily. Coach, TJ Williams, we're obviously fond of him from around here. We watched him be awesome in high school. I wonder for you, as you watch this and you see him, not just that, you know, he's been good in a box score or anything like that. Everybody watching the Northern Iowa game watched that young man take over. How comfortable are you with embracing that and encouraging him to do that more often?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be in the right setting. I think that what happened there, what the game demands, good players supply. And what was the situation there was they were really conscientious about Caron Boyd and Will Berg being able to offensive rebound. They were really conscientious about Kenyon Giles and Michael Gray being able to shoot the ball. And so it provided quite a bit of space. And TJ was able to operate in that space. But he was, more importantly, he was able to operate in that space at his strength. You'll get some guys who just settle. TJ shot a shot in the first half that I thought was settling, and there weren't any more of those the rest of the game. And you saw him being aggressive and getting to the rim and making plays. He's a good free throw shooter, and so he was getting fouled. And he was playing within his strengths, And that's when you need players to be aggressive. You could be aggressive and just shoot the ball, but you know, you don't play with a lot of force. I thought TJ played with a lot of force, and he did it because that's what kind of the game demanded at that moment on account of how they were defending the other four guys on the court.
Coach, looking at this team and the growth that they've shown already this season, I'm sure you've got visions for a lot of other areas of improvement with a long way to go yet, but what maybe are you most proud of in terms of their improvement, especially when we talk about the ups and downs they've faced here so far and in the adversity that's kind of been in their way and they've come out better for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point simply because Northern Iowa was the fourth most experienced team in the country. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, nearly 70% of their minutes returned from a year ago. And that's why people project them to win the Missouri Valley. And to be able to, with 12 new guys, eventually you don't get to keep allowing that to be an excuse. You eventually have to make plays. You eventually have to do something. So to do that on the road against a team that is top five in the country in returning minutes at a quality opponent, to be able to do that it speaks about that level of growth, and that's what you want. You need to be able to learn these lessons, and then you need to be able to apply them. And again, with that level of experience on the opposition side, you could see our guys kind of growing up in real time and understanding the plays that needed to be made. And what I mean by that is I thought we were aggressive. I didn't think that we were passive and just settling. I thought, you know, going back to Michael's Gray shot at the end of regulation in order to get us in overtime, like I thought we were aggressive during that whole time, minus a few possessions. Obviously, the 14 turnovers is a little much for our taste. But I thought we were aggressive, and you watched us kind of grow up in real time corporately.
It's interesting, Coach, as we get to this part of the schedule, you get to some of those things you're talking about there. You get a full week to practice. DePaul, it looks like profiles more like a team out of the American this year, and then two teams back at home that are a little lower before you begin conference play. So what is a goal in this week then, extra time to prepare for a game that maybe feels a little like a conference game will feel based on the opposition?
Well, our players have finals, so if you look at the college basketball slate today, I think only seven entire games being played out of the 365 schools, because this is usually one of those weeks. So our players have finals, which is, well, for a lot of people, this is kind of par for the course, is where you take the whole week off from a scheduling standpoint. So we'll get back to it tomorrow, and then, you know, have a few days in order to prep Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for that 11 a.m. tip off on Saturday. And then we should be good to go. You know, the goal is always trying to be connected defensively and offensively. And I think we're making strides. Our execution has to get a lot better. I've said this over and over, our defensive rebounding has to get better. And I think we've got strides to make. So we're looking forward to it.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate you hopping in from the doctor's office. Really,
you bet. You bet. Thank you, guys. Awesome.
Tell the doc we said hello and to take care of business today, because you guys have got a big week here. Shockers back home against DePaul. You can go to goshockers.com, get your tickets there. That is an 11 a.m. game Saturday. No college football. Why the heck not? So that's what's up next. And then a couple of games, and then we're going to be to conference play before we know it, right in the throw of things. Coach, we appreciate it. Nice win at Northern Iowa, and we'll talk again next week. There goes Paul Mills, Wichita State head coach. There you go. Dedication. Just pop in. You know, when the schedule changes on you, you just pop in. There's nothing worse than hopefully we helped him pass the time in the waiting room. You sit there, you're out in the middle of things, you're like, all right, now, and then you get in there and you got to wait another half hour. So hopefully we made that a little easier for him. Let's make this a college basketball segment then here real quick, Jackson. So Shockers, huge win in Northern Iowa. Embrace TJ Williams. I said that last night on Sports Sunday. Like, him becoming that dude for this team would be such a cool and great development, I think. But let's talk real quick, Darren Peterson, in case we run out of time in the next hour. Makes his return. I mean, I got to tell you, like, everything this team needs to be elite, he provides them immediately. And that's exactly what we saw against Missouri.
Yeah, I was really impressed, you know, because it can't be easy, one, to deal with the health issues that he was dealing with. Hamstrings linger. They don't go away. You have to continually work on them for a long period of time to improve. So to deal with that health-wise and miss the amount of time that he did, and then to step in back into the game and play 23 minutes, score 17 points, and like provide that offensive spark that KU really needed to help them kind of take that next step is really impressive to me, because I think it's very clear to see how much better this group is, obviously, with him on the floor. But like, you've got players that are capable, guys like Flory Badunga and like Bryson Tiller, who's been really nice, and Trey White has been an absolute dog for KU. But if you have that cast plus the potential number one pick in the NBA draft, you're going to be really tough to beat all the time. So it's really nice to see that kind of come to form when you've got the full cast of characters available. But I'm still even that much more impressed with KU and how they've looked as good as they have without Darren Peterson of late too, because even in the minutes he wasn't on the floor yesterday against Missouri, I still felt like they were head and shoulders above Mizzou. And I don't think Mizzou is a bad team.
They're not. Jackson, I think KU has a chance to be a top 5 to 10 team. If they can get Peterson back, like at full go, unbridled, like let him go, with what they showed us in Vegas, with all the other things that this team appears to be able to do well, finding the lineup of Badunga and Tiller, letting, you know, Council and White get comfortable in these roles, McDowell and Jackson seem like they're going to be very comfortable coming off the bench like that. Like, the only thing they need is some offense, and he provides all of it. That's the kind of player he is. I mean, he fills it up at such ease that it's going to make it easier. And Trey White said that after the game. They're like, he makes it so much easier for the rest of us with what he does, even in limited fans, even in limited time. So I really hope they can get him at full strength. And I hope we can put all this other stuff behind us at some point, because I do think this team has a chance to be awesome if it, by March, right? Like by the time we get to those games, I think this has a chance to be a special team. That's what I'm reading on what I'm seeing. It's a little early for that probably, but man, I feel like it's there.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, coming up on Saturday, they go to NC State, and that's yet another tough test for this group. And if you even get, again, 20, 25 minutes from Darren Peterson in that game, and you can win it against what I think in NC State is a pretty darn good team, like, you can start really having some visions for the future, because after NC State, that schedule to end the year gets really soft. Like, you got Towson, Davidson, you open Big 12 play with UCF. Like, you can start to kind of really come to form without any pressure of elite opponents, and that could lead you to some really good basketball in January and February, and who knows where that could take you after the Big 12 rigor.
Can let you take it easy with Darren Peterson too.
Yeah,
Cat fans, we'll talk K-State basketball tomorrow with Wyatt Thompson. We have so much to cram into the next hour. Josh Briscoe joins us for Chiefs Talk, college football talk, bowl games. K-State hired a coach, and we've got a selection committee for the playoffs. We'll get it all in the next hour. Don't go away.
I think, Jacob, you're muted.
I was muted. Thank you, Jackson. We had a little technical issue. Our break didn't roll there either on the video stream. Here we go. Busy day here. Odyssey's teaming up with the Kansas Humane Society for 12 strays of Christmas. Stray number one, French Toast Sticks, has been adopted. Dog number two is Timmy Tough Knuckles, a 10-month-old, 32-pound brindle, ready to find a family. Check out the full 12 strays of Christmas list at kshumane.org. And even if you don't adopt, if you want to help pets like Timmy Tough Knuckles, KHS has a list of needed items they use every day. The 12 strays of Christmas, supported by 316 Pet Supplies and XY in downtown Wichita. We come back in getting you ready for another hour of Sports Daily. We're going to get a lot of college football talk in on this segment. Then we're going to have Joshua Briscoe come in. Then we'll wrap up college football, because not only do we have to talk about a new coach at K-State, We have to talk about a bowl game fiasco happening right now in the world of college football, largely because of, in some cases, what's happened in the college football playoff selection. So we'll get it all in here. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager. Bock, yeah. A cold beer that'll give you a warm feeling. Bock Lager available at all three WBC brew pubs, East near Central and Woodlawn, West at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley, Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. All right, Jackson, let's get to college football real quick. You guys hit on a lot of this, and we hit on a lot of this Friday. It was semantics. We knew Klein was getting the job. Klein's getting the job. What a wild time for K-State. I think we've got to turn the page now on, I guess, decisions to not go to a bowl game here. So as they make the transition to Colin Klein, K-State decides and the players decide that they're not going to accept a bowl bid. What bowl would it even been against Rice? Was that the Birmingham Bowl?
As far as I know, the two options for K-State would have been the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana, or Liberty Bowl, which I think K-State's fan base is well burnt out on at this point after several prior appearances there.
You, Jackson, I know have some I'm going to give you the floor here to give your take, because we may disagree on all of this. So, as Andy Reid would say, time's yours.
So there's been, I would say, a fair reaction to opting out of bowl games as a team, be that K-State, Iowa State, Notre Dame, whatever.
KU.
Yeah, well, for them, I'll give them the grain of salt that, like, they didn't think they were going to be in a bowl game because they didn't win six games. And I bet a lot of those teams that were asked, half their teams already home for the semester break. It is what it is. But for the bowl-eligible teams to opt out, I would say that anymore, the way college football works is you value roster building over roster development. And in the past, those extra 15 practices to get you ready for a bowl game were invaluable. Like, you could get a jump start on your spring practices and next year and all the good that comes with that. And to a degree, that's still true for a lot of teams, but not all of them. And especially not when you have a change in coaching regime. Like, if Chris Klieman's retired and ready to be done, which I think he was ready to be done after the Colorado game, he probably would have coached one more game in a bowl game, but I don't know that he was wanting to or excited to. But if you have him leaving and a new coach coming in, and that new coach in Colin Klein has to rebuild a coaching staff and re-recruit the current roster and recruit new guys to come in and maintain the signing day class and all these different things that are time-consuming, on top of the fact that he himself is also still the offensive coordinator of a college football playoff team, like, the negative side of playing in that bowl game is the time and preparation it takes to play a bowl game, even if it's Rice or whoever, takes away from a lot of the time and energy you can give to the future of your football program. And that being said, you're playing a bowl game that does not move your needle. Like, playing Rice for K-State does no good. The only outcome that really moves that needle for K-State if you play a bad CUSA team in the Independence Bowl is if you lose and your reputation is tarnished on what already was a frustrating season. So, like, you have nothing to gain, and there are a ton of football teams that feel the same way, especially like Notre Dame, who had much bigger visions than a bowl game. Like, they wanted to challenge the college football playoff and try to make it to the national championship game again. But they get left on the outside, and probably a good amount of their roster is still going to turn over, and they have to figure that out and find a way to make themselves better next year to not be in this position. So what I'm saying, all of these different moving targets for college football make bowl games mean far less now than they did 10 years ago. In the past,
what did they mean 10 years ago?
In 10 years ago, like, there wasn't this, like, much bigger goal. Like, your bowl game was your goal. Your goal was to get to a good bowl game and try to win a marquee game against a marquee opponent, right? Now, the big goal is no longer that nice bowl game. It's to get into the playoff to give yourself a chance at a national championship. And for a large majority of teams right now, they're coming to learn that they've got a long way to go to even get to that point. And while I think the playoff or bust mindset is broken and wrong, that's where a lot of programs view things right now. Like,
why? Let me ask here. Why do you think making the playoffs is the wrong? Because that's what we strive for in every other sport. Hell, that's what we strive for in the other college sports.
Like, we've seen teams opt out of the NIT before, and it's never met with this kind of reaction, is it?
Exactly. And the NIT means as much as a bowl game.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, bowl games don't mean what they used to me, because it's just some random vacation.
Bowl games have never meant anything.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Right? Like,
but you could at least make the argument, right?
Yeah, they were this excuse to try to justify a top two teams that we're just going to pick out of a hat, make a championship. And then even with four, like, bowl games they're an exhibition. They're a way for TV networks to make a whole bunch of money. They are a fun trip for a fan base. I'll give you that. But there's too much on the line for players anyway. Like, you've got massive NIL and it's not even just NIL, by the way, either. Do you remember when, what's his name? The Notre Dame linebacker who was going to be a first round pick went in to a bowl game and blew his knee out and ended up being a fourth round pick in his NFL career. Never really got the legs it probably would have. He's played for the Cowboys. I should remember his name off the top of my head, but I don't. Those kinds of things can happen all the time. You're asking guys, it'd be like saying, hey, NFL guys, we want you to all go play a fourth preseason game and we want you to be damn happy about it. Right? Yeah. Why do we still play extra preseason games? Because the teams force fans to buy tickets to them, right? Like, you'll see preseason games go away when you see the regular season expanded. They don't mean anything. They never have, right? The tradition of when bowl games meant something is so far gone. It's not even like a generation ago. It's like three generations ago when it meant something to go play at the Rose Bowl. Like, otherwise, it's okay, fine. Like, it's cool for that community. But if you're the players, the coaches, like, this is such a silly thing. If you want to continue the bowl games, you need to turn the playoff games into bowl games. That's all you have to
do. Yeah, they try to do that, right? Like, the Fiesta Bowl is going to be a quarterfinal game.
But that way you can tie the sponsors to it. You can do all that same stuff.
The problem is that there are... like, it's too watered down anymore. And I would argue, as much as I love football and bowl games, it's been watered down for a while. We haven't needed 43 bowl games for the last decade. And yet, here we are with a bunch of teams that don't make six wins, that still, like we even before teams were opting out a week ago,
they still had to find three different 5 and 7 teams. Are we really that upset we're not going to see K-State and Rice play?
No, I'm not. Like, I love K-State football. I have grown up a huge K-State football fan because of my parents my entire life. I went and sat my butt in the freezing cold and watched them play Colorado a week ago for no reason, but I love watching K-State football. But is my life worse off because I'm not going to watch them play Rice on a random Tuesday afternoon in a glorified exhibition? No, I totally understand why they wouldn't want to play that game, and I'm cool with it. But the issue right now is that the rest of the room is starting to learn that these games don't mean anything. The older crowd, where bowl games used to mean something, right, is finally starting to notice these games don't mean anything. And their frustrations that they're voicing at Kansas State or Notre Dame or Iowa State need to be voiced in the direction of the structure of college football in general right now. The transfer portal and the calendar of that transfer portal and really the calendar in general of college football is completely out of whack, and it all needs adjusted. And I would argue that a simple adjustment of that calendar would solve several of the problems in the sport right now. Not all of them, certainly, but it would make a sizable difference if you could adjust how and when players transferred so that it didn't throw a complete wrench into everything at the end of a season.
K-State fined $500,000. I still wonder, too, if in a revenue share model, this is the first year they have to share the revenue of a bowl game, if it's financially viable for them to travel down there and play it. All right. We're going to come back. We should have Joshua Briscoe. We'll get back to the college football talk, the CFP. It all ties together. We got a lot to get to today. We're coming right back with more Sports Daily.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in. That Chiefs Insider is Joshua Briscoe alongside Jacob Albrock, Jackson Schneider in for TJ this morning. Late night, Josh. We appreciate you being here. There is a whole bunch of things to dig into from the game that may very well have ended the Chiefs season. People that have been listening to the show this morning know where I'll start. I think it's with the decision that may have ended the Chiefs season. Andy Reid is one of the best that's ever done this. I don't like questioning the greatest minds and the decisions they made. I can't remember a worse decision, in my opinion, than going for it on 4th-and-1 at your own 31-yard line in a tie game against a team who had 20 yards of offense in the half. I think that was absurdly bad, that call to go for it. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me. I remember talking before the season, we were trying to figure out what time I was going to join you guys, and I think I joked at one point, I might be in a bad mood after some primetime games. We'll make it work, right? Never in my wildest dreams nor nightmares did I think that I would be in a bad mood because the Chiefs were 6-7, for all the kids out there. I mean, it is a disaster. Like, it is really, truly a stunning place to be, and just no fun at all. So, on the fourth down decision, I'll say on the front end, I'm a fourth down aggression guy. I love the fourth down
too.
Bots. I want to see the stats. I want to get the angles. I didn't even, in the moment, didn't even consider that they might keep the offense out on the field there. And then it was an empty set where Kareem Hunt is lined up at tight end, and I think it was Hollywood Brown that came into the little orbit motion. He might have had an angle for the first down. I digress. There were other fourth down decisions in that game that I thought the Chiefs should have been more aggressive on. I thought maybe you take the penalty on the running into the kicker on Matt Araiza, give yourself a shorter fourth and, I think it would have been 4th-and-5 around midfield. You had another 4th-and-4 from the 44, I think it was. Other opportunities where I would have been on board with more offensive aggression. And then in that moment, when you do have your defense that has just been absolutely smothering with any wiggle room, given any longer field, your defense has been like literally perfect in the second half. And then you boil it down to, hey, we're either going to get this yard or the game is going to shift enormously. I was surprised by that decision from Andy Reid, not just in the vacuum, but also in the larger context of the game, in the larger context of when Andy Reid likes to be more aggressive on fourth down. I was surprised with the play call. Maybe I shouldn't have been. So I think I am making my main thing in this game the drops. I think if guys catch balls that hit them in both hands, the fourth down decision ends up not even being necessary. If Harrison Butker makes his first field goal instead of doinking it off the upright, then it's 13-10, and the Chiefs are certainly punting the ball away there at 10-10 in their own territory. So as has been the case approximately 7 times this year, there are a lot of places I think you can pass the blame.
Looking at this team, you know, and I talked with Jacob a little bit about this earlier, Josh, but looking at this team and seeing them at 6-7 and by the thinnest of margins, is it not just a little bit more frustrating to you? Because it's just the antithesis of what Chiefs football has been this year, right? They, instead of making the plays to go win the clutch games, they're the ones, the same guys that made those plays in the past are the ones making the critical mistakes that have ultimately cost them games now 7 times. and might have just cost them their shot at the playoffs. It's, to me, it's the most frustrating thing in the world, because it's almost like they're operating the same exact way they did 3, 4, 5 years ago, but we're seeing the flip side of that coin and how close the margins really are in the NFL.
Yeah, I know people get sick of hearing that, but there is absolute truth to the fact that the margins are unbelievably narrow. And frankly, that's one of the things that makes this season even more frustrating. If this was a season where the Bills and the Ravens and the, I don't know, and a healthy Bengals team, let's say, if those three teams were dominating the AFC and alone at the top of the conference, and they've just been trying to jockey for position for the one seed in the first round bye, maybe you look around and go, hey, you know, this is just a year where the AFC had some juggernauts, the Chiefs had some bad luck, and you wipe this season away and you start thinking about 2026. But when you're talking about the Broncos and Patriots at 11-2, at the top of the conference, the Jags, who you should have beaten, the Steelers, who I still have my doubts about, those are the teams that have taken advantage of their opportunities, that have been in better situations. And for all of that to come together, the fine line nature of the NFL, the fact that it is little stuff here and there, that again, this Chiefs team, with a few different coin flips landing a few different ways, and not to pick on the guy, because I genuinely think he's the greatest of all time, but at the beginning of the season, and again last night, you have Travis Kelce on multiple occasions just like bump setting an interception to the defense. And he has made some of, no exaggeration, some of the greatest plays in NFL history. And he's been better this year than he was last year in terms of how he actually looks out on the field. So it's not like, well, yeah, Travis Kelce just fell off so much that his hands turned to concrete. That's not what happened. And if Travis Kelce wants to play football again next year, he'd be one of their best weapons next year. But you have a couple of those moments where a good play turns into a turnover and the season starts to tumble because those mistakes can snowball the way they have this year.
I'm glad you brought up Kelce. So this has been a really really interesting year. I think Kelsey's been a lot better than he was a year ago. I think, you know, does young in prime Kelce make that last catch on a not greatly placed ball from Mahomes? Probably. But I honestly think that they put a little too much on him at his age. I think it's clear, like, there's a little step back, but he's the second leading receiving tight end in football this year. Right. Rick just brings up a great point on YouTube. Noah Gray dropped two much easier passes last night.
Yep.
So for all the run Travis Kelce off into the sunset crowd, I would ask, you still got to replace Travis Kelce. And he has been a massive part of this offense this year. We gotta be a little bit careful here. Maybe don't put so much on the old man's plate late in the game, but he's going to be an interesting story this offseason. What if he told you, hey, I want to come, I love football too much, I want to come back, I'll give you a team friendly deal. Do you not love that if you're a Chiefs fan? Because I think if you ask a lot of Chiefs fans right now, they might say no.
Yeah, I think that's a little prisoner of the moment. I think you take Travis Kelce till he's 50 if he keeps playing like he has this year. And again, I understand that playing like he has this year includes two interceptions that I might put on his stat sheet and you know, the whatever happened with Xavier Worthy, other drops here and there. And the commenter's question there, you have to be able to have other guys step up and earn some of that confidence. And look, I think Mahomes would probably benefit from a little bit of a recalibration of how he wants to spread the football around. But Rashee Rice wasn't out there for the first 6 weeks of the season. And you talk about Noah Gray and his two drops. How about Rashee Rice also continuing to have a drop problem this year? Also, again, just because it's all two sides of the same coin, Rashee Rice has made some unbelievable game-saving and at the time season-saving plays in this offense. I don't think you can expect absolute perfection, but when you see the top weapons on this team having just simply too many mistakes. It looked like I would have loved to have seen more Tyquan Thornton all year. He almost has a 48, I think, yard touchdown. And that wasn't a drop. It was a play that maybe he could have played a little bit differently, got punched out. But you just have so many of these opportunities where I honestly, guys, I was stunned to look at Patrick Mahomes' box score as the postgame show was starting. I'm doing other stuff. I'm not really tracking the box score because that's not that important when you're watching the game, right? The game ends, the show begins, I'm looking at the stat line, I'm going, Patrick Mahomes had a quarterback rating of under 20? How does that happen? Well, it happens with three interceptions, and it happens with deflections, and it happens with all these drops. I think we were within a couple of nice catches away from a over-my-dead-body type of game from Patrick Mahomes, and instead it ends up being probably the worst statistical game of his career. That's baffling. And that was all behind, obviously, an offensive line, not just missing three starters and one of the backups.
I wanted to build on that. I'm glad you mentioned it, because of all the issues that could have plagued the Chiefs last night, if you had asked me before the game what the difference would have been if they had lost, I would have told you it was the offensive line. 100%. Easily, like immediately, I would have said it's the offensive line that can't handle the Texans. That wasn't the problem. Even with Esipola coming in early in the game on zero real expectations of seeing any snaps, right? He comes out and actually does a pretty dang good job against a very good defensive front. It wasn't the offensive line that hurt the Chiefs. It was the specialists that typically will carry you to a win that flat out dropped it.
Literally, yeah. The Esipola thing would be such a fun little tag on if they win that game, because he goes out there and goes, hey, you know what, man? I kind of like him. And listen, I'm going to sound real revisionist because this was happening in training camp. But like around training camp, it was like, oh man, he's kind of showing you something. That's kind of interesting. But then they cut him at cutdowns, and like, not to get real big picture, like really dissecting, you know, the 54th spot on the roster or whatever. But the Chiefs cut Mike Pinnell and Esipola at roster cutdowns. And then twice each of those guys come back and just are like the knight on the white horse riding in to save the day. It's like, oh, well, Pole looks pretty good. I'm glad the Jets let him go too. Mike Pinnell was pretty important for this defense. I'm glad that they were able to pry him away from the confines of the Bengals. But you're right that the Chiefs were able to overcome some of those issues. And I haven't seen any of the grades or anything today, and I certainly haven't rewatched it yet. But I think Esipola might have had a better day than Mike Caliendo or Jalen Moore. I mean, the left side of the offensive line, and also with that hat tip that is, he's just going to get lost in the season by and large. Kingsley Suamataia has just been having a really excellent season for a guy who like, not to exaggerate or make light of it at all. If you would have told me after he got pulled in week 3 that Kingsley just never had the trust of the team again and just never saw the field again, I would have said that's unfortunate, but I guess I get it because of just how quickly they decided to pull the plug last year. Kingsley's been great at left guard, and playing next to Creed Humphrey certainly helps, but they did survive that, and they did some things offensively to keep Mahomes on the move and to try to give those guys a little bit of extra help and change the angles for that pass rush. But the fact that the Chiefs did not quite master that, but they solved enough of those problems to survive offensively, and for it to still result in 10 points. I mean, look, again, maybe everything moves easier if you've got all of your starting linemen. That's certainly true. The Texans have not had good offensive line play in a few years, maybe longer, and you even got like a pretty good day from the Chiefs pass rush. You got a great day from Chris Jones, and all of that together wasn't enough. That to me, I think I'm probably getting ahead to a future question, but that to me is one of the reasons that I, you know, I see 12, 14, 15% chance for the Chiefs to make the playoffs or whatever it is. You just have to win the games when you actually have the tools. And it was 10-10 with everything pointing in the Chiefs' direction, and they lose that game by double digits.
And maybe the excruciating part of that, Joshua Briscoe with us, Chiefs Radio Network, is that things were happening before they took the field. Like, they could see that Daniel Jones is done for the year. Yep. They know that Justin Herbert is playing as a cyborg right now with a broken hand and can't even hand the ball off correctly. Like, they know all of these things going into that game. Like, the door just burst open for them to go and march right into the postseason, and they can't get it done. It is what a year. And I said, Jackson asked me this, and I'm glad he did, because I'm not a Chiefs fan. I've covered the Chiefs now for more than a decade. So, like, you get caught up in it. But to not get caught up totally into the emotion is a very strange place to be. Yeah. Like, the highs are not quite as high. The lows certainly aren't nearly as low. Like, it feels like if you pulled and talked to a Chiefs fan right now, you'd think that it has been an absolute meltdown for the last 2 years of epic proportions. They made the Super Bowl last year, right? Like, it's it's a wild experience and a wild ride, and this year has been something else. Is this the end of this version of it? Obviously, we know the window's as open as Patrick Mahomes is standing on two legs. But Tom Brady had a big gap in between his two stretches of greatness. Are we in that gap, do you think? Or is there anything left in the tank of this version of the Chiefs?
I think it's probably going to be time for a pretty big retool. But even as I say that, I have, of course, given some thought to what that looks like. And I think that at bare minimum, I think this sort of era of Chiefs football, and again, like you said, Mahomes, the truth is Mahomes is going to play longer than Andy Reid's going to coach. He's obviously going to play longer than Travis Kelce. He's obviously going to play longer than Chris Jones. I really think that this dynasty that the Chiefs have had in this era, I think that has belonged more than anything to Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones.
Yep.
Well, Chris Jones is going to be here next year unless something absolutely insane happens, and I don't even know what that would be. Like, he would have to retire almost, I mean, the way that his contract's set up, right? So Chris Jones is going to be here, and again, a great game for him. You talk about a guy, all the way, this sidetrack, but talk about a guy that you want to figure out how to get the best out of without putting everything on him. Chris Jones was an animal against the Colts, and then he couldn't do that on 3 days rest because he's an older defensive tackle. That makes sense. He gets 10 days and he does it again against the Texans. Make life easier for Chris Jones. Please find him a running mate. Maybe they think that's going to be Omar Norman Lott. Find him three running mates. Let's really have some options here. Even as the pass rush had a better day yesterday. But George Karlaftis and that contract, he's going to be here next year. Trent McDuffie is a guy who is movable, which bums me out because I think he is a remarkable football player. And obviously he got hurt early on yesterday and he's had a couple of rough goes in a row. But I do get the feeling that there's going to be some sort of evolution and that it is going to be a different core or a different... Maybe that era doesn't really begin until 2027, because again, if Kelce wants to come back next year, I think he's back. You're going to have every one of those other names I mentioned, they're going to be back. You've already seen this team evolve through offensive coordinators and assistant coaches and all of that. I don't know if that constitutes a total shift. So my instinct is to say, yeah, I think you say that the back-to-back Super Bowls, the three in this era, the returning to get to three in a row last year, and then a disappointing 2025, I think that is, without a doubt, obviously, like, not only is that more than good enough for what this era has been, it's one of the best stretches of football in NFL history. I would be at peace with saying it's time for that. Next year's the beginning of a new era. But I think it would have to be more like how they evolved after the run it back campaign fell short, the initial run it back campaign, I suppose. Then they had some evolutions and you saw some different pieces. But like Josh Simmons is the left tackle next year. Jalen Moore is probably the right tackle next year. There's not going to be a ton of wholesale turnover, but not at the top, but I do think that maybe the middle class of the roster is the thing that's really overdue for a churn.
And I think they need, as we wrap it, I think they need a break from the expectations, to be perfectly honest. I think that puts them in a place of success, but we'll find out. Man, thanks for waking up with us. What an annoying, frustrating microcosm of this season. That may replace the anger of the Jags loss, I think. The loss yesterday might be worse. There have been some bad ones, though. We appreciate it. But it is not over, as you mentioned, Josh, and we will have some games on the Chiefs Radio Network with Implicate. We'll see what happens with the Chargers tonight. Obviously, that gives us a reason to watch, but you'll have it covered on the Chiefs Radio Network for us. We appreciate it. Also, everything else and only weird games on the KC Sports Network. If you missed anything on Chiefs, if you missed it with Josh Briscoe, lots of good stuff there. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Appreciate everybody's comments and everything. It's been a wild ride today. Let's go back to college football. We discussed the bowl games. You and I both, they're old. I see a bowl game and I'm like, whatever. Like, they, outside of watching Kansas or Kansas State in a bowl game, I'm not sure I've watched any bowl game that didn't have playoff implications. And I don't even know how long. Well, they are not on the radar for me. Never really have been, because they're exhibition games. But
I mean, they were or you could make the argument that they had meaning before the playoff, but now that there is a playoff,
it's amplified. It
does
yes.
not that gap is so much bigger.
As but it, my point as it to that, should.
My point to that is, if look at any other division of college football, FCS, Division II, Division III, NAIA, not necessarily in that order, but still, they all have playoffs, and next to none of them have bowl games. There are a couple of Division II bowl games, a couple, but there's not 40 of them, and for good reason. There's no point to that to play those games because there's really any more no benefit to it. And to me, I think that's where college football is trending, where I think we're going to start seeing some bowl games drop off a little bit. I think this year is a little bit of a wake-up call that maybe there's too many in an era where, again, these don't have the meaning that they used to, and that'll suck a little bit because I love watching college football, and if you're going to put one on at noon on a Tuesday, I'm going to watch it while I'm working. That's just how I am. But it's just it doesn't matter anymore.
I can't I can't watch them because I know they're not playing for anything. Like, I'll watch a college basketball game during feast week. Like, I love it because those games do mean something. A bowl game to the outcome of the season, they don't mean anything. They are strictly exhibitions. They're fun for the fans. They're fun for those communities that host them. So here's what I would say. We're about to wait 11 days before we play a playoff game, which is so stupid. Okay. Like, here's what you can do. If you're my answer to one, you get to 16 teams first and foremost. Like, I don't think it's ever been more obvious that that needs to happen. And we'll get to the selection in a minute, but it all kind of ties together for me. Like, if you're trying to recapture those sponsorship opportunities, those things, all of these conferences, they have too many cupcakes on the schedule right now. And you have this gap right now of 11 days. Like, for whatever reason, like, could you imagine if the NFL took a week off before we started the playoffs, or any league for that matter? It's the silliest thing. Oh, they have to take finals. They have to take finals in Division II. They have to take finals in FCS. They have to take finals everywhere. Like, let's stop with all
they
that.
They have to take finals in Division I college the
most,
football.
Even if they're the most dedicated students in the world, there are ways they can take finals without disrupting their football schedule. Everyone else does it. So you have all this time on the schedule and all these cupcakes that you schedule. Let's be done with the cupcakes. You can get one at the beginning of the year, a warm-up game, a tune-up game. You get right into conference play. And then you play, in my opinion, you should be playing some version of at least a conference semifinal and then a conference championship. It allows your team to get enough games in so we're not constantly dissecting this selection process like we are. Gives you more good games. And if you want to tie, like, and I'm not even kidding about this. If you want to make one of the Big 12, you know, semifinal games, what bowl game typically features a Big 12 team? The Liberty Bowl. If you want to make one of those Liberty Bowl and play that in Memphis, I don't even think you need to do that. You know, like, you could, though. Like, why not? Who cares? Like, just go play it that way. And then at least it means something. It still gives the fans at the exact same time of the year an opportunity to go travel if they so choose. Like, you can do all the things and you can schedule them whenever you want, right? To keep the TV networks happy. But to play them as exhibition games, who cares? I mean, I get it. I get why teams are turning it down.
I 100% do. Now, I'm spending too much time with you guys on air because you just had to do it the same thing I've had to. I'm dealing with this cough, so if I have to pause.
This annoying cough goes, like, and it transfers from my basement to the studio to you through tech. Like, it is, I'm going on my fourth week of this stupid thing.
It's ridiculous. But you mentioned expanding to 16 teams in the playoff, and I would be willing to entertain that because I think you could just pick a number and it really doesn't matter because I still think that top echelon is going
to
have the upper hand no matter how many teams you let in. And I don't think whether it right now we're arguing over who should be like those last two teams in, you're going to argue about that at 16 and you're going to argue about that at 24. Doesn't matter. But I think you're right in expansion to 16 is probably the right move, because at least then you take out of the equation the bye and the argument. Well, last year it was the top four of the conference champions. That immediately didn't work. So now it's the top four teams in general. And it's still there's still some weird stuff with that, because the sweet spot apparently for this playoff is being like the sixth seed and getting one of those G5 teams in the first round and using that as a springboard to go the rest of the way. So this playoff format still has some things to be worked out. But I want to hear your reasoning as to why 16 is the right number.
Okay, so there's several. One, they are so tethered to the timing of these games, right, being around the new year. One of the issues that we face currently is there are four teams who have earned the right to be the top four seeds, pretty unquestioned, I think. And we're going to see none of them play for 3 weeks. That is such a disadvantage to them, in my opinion. We saw it play out last year. The teams with the bye, like, you can't spend 3 weeks without playing football and have your peers have a game. Like, whoever comes out of the first set of games to play those teams with a bye is at an advantage in a lot of ways. So that's one reason. We don't need to have a 3 week gap. That's usually where they try to cram in bowl games. Bowl games don't mean anything. So if you're not going to move that schedule up, and I don't think that they are, I think two things need to happen. At minimum, you get to 16 and you eliminate the bye. Okay, so that takes you a week forward, right, to the schedule that currently exists, or maybe even two. And then in my other part of it is, in order to help the selection process, you play a semifinal and conference championship, right? Like, you give more opportunities to help with the resume process. It's silly and ludicrous that we're trying to discuss, based on people sitting in a room, whether three-loss Alabama has more merit than two-loss Notre Dame. Alabama has the worst loss. Notre Dame lost it to a couple playoff teams. Like, how does that happen? Well, ESPN carries these games, and they're in the SEC network, and, you know, they have Alabama in there, and you've got the people at Fox saying there needs to be more Big Ten teams in there. And, like, there's too much of that, right? Whether you think it's Alabama or you think it's Notre Dame, the thing for me is both. Well, Alabama doesn't feel to me like a team that should be designed to get one of those last spots, which is a team that maybe got out to a rough start but could still win a national championship. We all know it usually isn't very many teams that can actually win a title. We probably, what do we feel like there are this year? You know, four or five
at most.
Probably. And they're going to have to deal with the bye. But that's what Notre Dame, on the other hand, Jackson, does feel like that, you know, that being allowed feels more of a Notre Dame should be there. I know they lost to Miami, who they were being directly compared to, and that's what really makes this complicated too. I get it. But the other loss was a 1-point loss to Texas A&M. And they have been housing everybody else since.
Well, they had better because they haven't played anybody since then, right?
No, hasn't been the most daunting schedule. But you can't look at what they've done and say, like, if anybody fits the formula of a team that might still be able to win a title, it's Notre Dame.
I fully agree with that. I do 100% agree with that. And I think,
and so that's where the back end teams, that's where those last spots should go. Because ultimately, I do want to see the best team win a title. Like, I think BYU got hosed the most, but Notre Dame at least fits that. Like, BYU's not going to win a national title. So if you don't want to put them in, fine. But neither is Alabama this year.
I just think that for me, like, it's this weird mix of where we have to decide what we want college football to be. Because in the past, with the BCS structure, all it took for, like, the underdog that's not in that blue blood top five or six team conversation every year, all it took for them to have a magical year and actually have a chance to win a national championship was to actually just win all your games. or be in that conversation with one loss
which
at the end of the season.
In my opinion, by the way.
I get it. I get that it's dumb. But now that we are removing that possibility and making it harder to win a national championship when you have to win 3-4 games in a row, whatever it is at the end of the year, right? You have to decide, is it important for everyone to get a fair shake or just that upper portion? Because even in the BCS era, when bowl games really meant something, or when you could at least argue that they meant something, G5 teams at least got a fair shake, where if they were ranked within, I can't remember if it was the top 12 or top 15, and they won their conference championship, they got a BCS bowl bid. Now you get these G5 teams that sneak in because of down years in the ACC. They get the opportunity, but it's not like there needs to be some parameters on it, I feel, because right now we're about to get a rematch of Tulane and Ole Miss that Ole Miss won 45-10 2 months ago, and that's a playoff game.
So here's the problem. Florida State did win all its games a couple of years ago and didn't get in. So it's always been flawed, but here's the biggest flaw. In the NFL, we take 14 out of 32 teams and put them in the postseason. There are twice as many teams in just in Power Four college football, and we're only taking 12 of them. There are too many teams that play too many different schedules with too many different variables to have a group of people in a room cherry picking what they think is important and what isn't important. So you have to make it more of a play-in scenario. And you have to get more teams in because 12 out of 65 or 70, however many it is not enough. There's such a bias towards Alabama, and it's so obvious. Like, that's what you don't want. Could you imagine in the NFL if we just said, all right, committee, why don't you pick us the 14 best team? Who do you think are the 14 best teams this year? That's how we'll do this. And you put them in any order you want to, and then we'll have a playoff. Like, what are we even doing with college football? All right, that does it for us. K-State basketball against Mississippi Valley State. Boy, if they don't win that one, it'll be an interesting conversation with Wyatt Thompson tomorrow. That's a 6 o'clock game right here on KFH. Jackson, your final thought on the playoff conversation?
Is we got to get a more uniform situation. And I know we as a society love our committees and subcommittees and all these different things.
Expand the playoff and earn it on the field. That's the only thing I can say. All right. Appreciate it, Jackson. We'll get you in another time. Good day to hop in and have some fun. TJ will be back with us tomorrow. For Max, for Jackson, thanks to Josh Briscoe. Thanks to Paul Mills. Listen to all of it on the Odyssey app. If you missed any of it, we'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.